and really enjoy the Olympics. It's, you know, they always tout it as this big thing that brings the world together, and there is that. There is some unity that is involved there. But in our letter that we read this morning, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talks about dividing walls, dividing walls of hostility. And specifically, he's talking about one that really plagued the early church. And it's this division between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Gentiles is kind of a Jewish word. It's a catch-all word for anybody who isn't Jewish. And so it's no surprise that the early church struggled with these divisions, because these divisions were ingrained in the Jewish people from Scripture itself, from their very beginnings. They were meant to be separate from anyone who was not part of God's chosen people. And so there were things that just separated them. They had food laws that separated their behavior from the behavior of the people around them. And today we have this mention of circumcision. Circumcision was a sign on their flesh that separated them from the world around them. They're ingrained into their beginnings are dividing walls, and they're meant to be there. And these dividing walls, unfortunately, though, carried over into the church as the church began. Because remember, the church began not as a new thing, but as an extension, as a new way of being a Jew. The Jewish Christians believed that Jesus was the Messiah that their own scriptures foretold. And this is how the church begins. And as the church expands, as the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out to the rest of the world, Gentiles start believing in this Jesus too. And here, those old walls of division, the dividing walls, show themselves. And as Paul writes, the church in Ephesus is dealing with these dividing walls and how to be Christians together, Jew and Gentile. It's almost like there's a us and them feel within the church in Ephesus, like Jesus is loving one group and has more for one group than he does for the other group. It started in the early church, but these divisions, dividing walls of hostility, continue on into the church today. There's no end to dividing walls. I would say probably dividing walls are Satan's favorite tool to break up the bride of Christ, the church. There are dividing walls everywhere you look in the church, divided walls from the divorced to those who are married, from the parent to those who are not parents, from those employed to those unemployed. There are dividing walls between the white-collar worker and the blue-collar worker, from man to woman, adult, child, those who openly struggle with mental health to those who have it all together. Those who are single mothers to those who are married couples, dividing walls exist everywhere between Republican, Democrat, Black, Hispanic, Native American, white. The dividing walls are everywhere. And each and every one of them threatens to break up the church of Christ. The church has much that would divide her, one from another, and Paul will not have it. And the reality is that all these dividing walls are symptoms of what is the true dividing wall. It's like there's lesser walls, but then there's a great wall. And that great wall is the division that exists between human beings and God himself, between sinful creatures and the holy Creator. From sinner to purity itself, there is division. and every division we have, even those that might be deemed necessary, like the division even of denominations. Every division we have are symptoms of a sinful people cut off from the holy, almighty God. There isn't just one group that's far from God. The reality is we are all aliens. We are all strangers. We are all born separated from the promises of God. And so in a weird, ironic twist, we're all unified. Unified under one simple truth, that we're all dirty, rotten scoundrels. We're all sinners. We are all, every one of us, on the wrong side of the wall, born on the wrong side of the wall. We are unified by this one thing. But Paul writes, and he tries to hammer it into the heads of the Christians at Ephesus, that they are all now part of one body. That all Christians everywhere are united by one simple truth, that every single one of you is brought into peace with God through the blood of Jesus. Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God, all unified in this one simple thing, by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we could just remember what we heard last week in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, that each and every one of us is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that none of us has a single thing to boast in except what Christ has done for us. All the divisions would become meaningless. They wouldn't matter anymore. Anytime the divisions feel like they are important, it's because we're losing focus on Jesus Christ, who broke down, as Paul says, the dividing wall of hostility. Christ is himself your peace. And in his flesh, as Paul says, all the dividing walls are broken down. Christ holds his church together because he himself is the cornerstone. And all of us are stones built into this body in which the Holy Spirit chooses to reside and to work in this world. It's an amazing thing that God chooses to work and serve his world through broken people. But this is what God does. So let us pray now. And as we pray, we'll pray for perspective on what God has done for us and how we then can serve the Lord as a united church. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, help us to focus and to remember the one truth that we need to know, that we are all sinners saved by grace, and only by grace. That we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and therefore united by the blood of Jesus Christ. Give us a focus and an ability to keep this at the fore of our minds. We pray, O Lord, that in any divisions that we might be involved in, that you would bring healing and bring peace. We pray for humility as well. And we ask, O Lord, as the church of Christ, that you would send your Spirit into us, and so we would work and serve by the power of your Spirit as a people unified in Christ for this broken world, that others may know also the redemption of Jesus Christ by his blood, and may know peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.